That's in the hole.
Yeah.
Great putt, man.
All right, folks. Tonight, we've got a special episode for y'all, the Tuesday Night Golf episode. And we've mentioned TNG on the podcast a few different times, but basically Tuesday Night Golf was started in the mid-2000s. It's a group of about, it's grown to about 40, 45 guys. And we go out, we start about 5 o'clock. We play 9 holes from the white tees and 9 holes from the red tees. You play one best ball, all birdies count, and par is your friend. So if you stand up on the tee and everybody hits it out of play, you get a par and you go to the next hole. And we've grown it. It's a great time. So we interviewed 4 guys from the TNG Golf Group. Mr. Jeff Wagner, who's the newly crowned commissioner. Mr. Will Peoples, who, along with myself, served as the commissioner for the last 7 or 8 years. We had the third guest was Mr. Andy Parkle, who's an international traveler and follower. And we had a great time with him. And the last one we talked to was Mr. Kevin Brown, who's a Golf Digest panelist. We get into some golf course architecture with him. JP butchers a pronunciation, and which is par for the course. We have a really good time talking to all these guys. Matt Nix, Jeff Stowe, Alan Schutze, y'all kind of chime in. We had 20, 25 guys over at Tap It, and we drank some beer and ate some wings and talked about some golf. So hope you enjoy the episode. And we'll be back on Tuesday with our regular episode. And thanks for listening.
Here we are. We're live from Patrick Growlers here in Gainesville, Georgia. You might hear some background noise that sounds like a bar because it is a bar. We're doing a little Tuesday night golf kickoff party on a Thursday. We're here with Stuart, joined by newly crowned commissioner, Jeff Wagner. Jeff, you want to say hello, introduce yourself to the crowd?
Hey, Jeff Wagner here, the commissioner, TNG, Tuesday Night Golf, 2019. This is my first year. It's actually handed off by Stuart Moore and Will Peoples, but looking forward to a great season and very happy to be on this podcast, which seems to be growing rapidly in fame and notoriety.
It's kind of been the talk of the night since we've been here. Maybe not for the best reasons either after that Brendan Todd interview.
I don't think they're talking about Brendan, JP.
All right. Well, golf.com is.
Yeah, that, we had a little viral episode there on Tuesday. We got a bunch of new followers on Twitter, and it just kind of some interesting happenings, but controversy is good, and all publicity is good, they say.
You had a little Twitter battle with somebody, didn't you?
I did. Some guy, since the Brendan's tweet was kind of picking up steam, I just said, hey, since golf.com's trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, why don't y'all come listen to the rest of the interview and see if there's something else y'all want to get salty about. Some guy basically said that nobody would listen to a shitty ass podcast with guests that didn't know what they were talking about. And I said, well, you're obviously concerned enough that you're tweeting to tell me that you're not going to listen. And then he blocked us.
So, I hope he is listening. I would like to see, I mean, everybody's trying to put Brendan's credentials up against Bryson's credentials. Maybe this guy should put his credentials up against yours.
That's right. He had a mirror selfie, which Yogi immediately said that's an auto press.
Yeah, we'll have to add that to the koozie.
If your Twitter profile picture is a mirror selfie.
Yeah, mirror selfies went out a while back. I would agree with that auto press.
Went out. Were they ever in?
They were in before they put that little reversey thing on the phones.
Before you knew the mirror selfie?
I didn't know about that. Well, I've never taken a mirror selfie. I don't think I ever will.
I don't know that you've ever had a bathroom with a mirror in it.
Was that a mirror selfie you sent out a couple weeks ago?
Oh, no. Well, it may have been, actually. I can't recall if I had it on reverse or not, but it was definitely a selfie.
Yeah, yeah.
5-minute selfie that went viral as well.
Ooh. Well, why don't you tell some of the tweaks you've made to TNG 2019? Well, let me give a little background on TNG first.
Yeah, do that.
Started, Wags, when would you say it started? 2006 or 7?
Are you going all the way back to when Wilkins?
Jimbo Wilkins.
Yes, probably 6 or 7, yeah. In which time, I think I was on cruise ships from 2006, 2010, so I didn't play much early on.
And in those days, we would have maybe 12 people. We played 9 holes from the whites and 3 holes from the reds. If it, like later on in the year, we'd maybe get to 14, but we'd play 14 from like the 150. And it was just kind of very lackadaisical. Come play if you want. We'll pair up teams. And people would drop on Tuesday afternoons, which is would make it very difficult when you have 12 people and somebody drops.
Yeah.
Wilkins had finally had enough of it, and he just said, you know what, I'm done with it. And we didn't want TNG to die. So we came over, and I got with Will Peoples, and I said, we can do this. And so we have the list grew to maybe 40-ish people.
We're at 48.
48. We send out an email on Thursday, the week before. We send out a reminder email on Monday, and then we give people till 10 o'clock the day of to drop without any consequences. It seems to work out pretty well.
And what's a consequence?
You get suspended.
Double cigarette probation.
Watch out. Wait, real quick, this is the second episode in a row we've mentioned some sort of ship. So,
well, JP brought up container ships on Tuesday.
I'm at a loss of words. I haven't gotten all the way through last week's podcast, so I don't know that I've seen or heard the container ship yet. I haven't seen the trophy either that you were asking everybody to look at.
It's kind of like Joe Rogan when he's doing a podcast. He's showing podcast or YouTube videos and this and that. Unless you're watching it on YouTube, you can't see it. So I was kind of channeling my inner Joe Rogan.
Just with about 5 million less viewers.
It's all right. You got to start somewhere, guys. I think y'all are picking up a great amount of steam very early on. And golf.com obviously helps.
Any publicity is good publicity.
I was hoping that Jimbo was going to walk in here tonight.
The author of the tweet.
Yeah, I don't know where Floyd is tonight. Maybe T-ball practice or something.
Probably.
Coach pitch.
Definitely some sort of practice.
See, you mentioned you got 48 people signed up this year. What's a max night you can have?
Well, I'm not afraid to have a max night of 48.
Okay.
We probably wouldn't get as many holes, but our average is probably 16.
16 to 20.
16 to 20. We everybody's phones rolling here. 16 to 20, and it tops maybe 24. When we get to the end of the year and the points are doubled, we get more people trying to make it in for the Tappet Cup, which we may want to mention right now. We're at Tappet, and Tappet sponsors the Tappet Cup, which is the year-long points race. They also provide us with a great trophy at the end of the year.
That's right.
It's full of beer and growlers. And
a gift card.
And a gift card. So we appreciate them, and they're hosting the kickoff party tonight here. So we love Tappet. If you're in the area, always stop by and see Tappet. They got a wide variety of beers. I'm probably guessing at about 20 to 40 tap handles up there. That's a wide range, but let's say 30 tap handles up there.
They're also your preeminent Northeast Georgia green egg dealer.
They are. They are a green egg dealer. And speaking of Green's Grocery provided us with some wings tonight.
Springer Mountain wings.
Springer Mountain Farm wings. And
you got people all over this podcast.
Yeah, it's great.
Is Duplicating Products wanted a commercial?
I actually printed off these little introductory sheets.
Do you want to read it?
To TNG on a copier that was provided to me by Duplicating Products.
Jeff took over this year for me and Will, who ran it for 7 or 8 years. Gave us a few tweaks.
Yeah, I tweaked up a couple of things this year. I remember last year everybody always talking about, let's play one time all time from the red tees. So our opening night, which is Tuesday, March 26th, we'll be playing all of the holes. We may or may not get in all 18 due to the darkness, but we're going to play all the holes from the red tees. Also, because we always start TNG after Chattahoochee punches the green, so we'll be on sand and big aeration holes, and we'll be playing from the red tees. The great thing, though, about Tuesday Night Golf is that if you're putting for par, pick it up.
That's right. One ball, all birdies count, and you and par is your friend. So meaning nobody has to, if all your guys stand up on the tee and everybody hits it in the water, you just go to the next hole.
Exactly.
Speeds up play.
It does.
That's true. We don't have any water at Chattahoochee.
There's no working on your form. There's no working on your putting stroke. We don't want to see any of that.
And we're not posting any scores.
And with the pin being left in this year, we could fly through this.
Ooh.
And we probably won't have to worry about anybody dropping from knee height because you shouldn't be dropping.
Another great thing that I'm sure, Wags, you might have actually brought this to TNG. TNG was well before my time here in Gainesville, but Golf Gamebook. Wags is an ambassador for Golf Gamebook. It's a live scoring system. Walk us through how that works for the listeners that might want to start a game like this at home.
Golf Gamebook is an app you can just get off Apple or whatever. It's live scoring. You can set up teams. Like Stuart mentioned, par is your friend is one of the games there. So no matter what scores you enter in, it only calculates those that are par or better. So we use this so everybody during the round can see exactly where every other group is. It also simultaneously records a skins game, so we play skins as well, and
really helps at the end.
It does. So at the end of the day, you're not sitting there with 10 scorecards circling, crossing out, writing down names. You're just looking at it and it goes, JP had a skin on number 3, and then JP gets paid out a portion of that skin.
It's
perfect.
It is great. Golf Gamebook came around actually. Miko Illen was, I think, played with Sam Holsey at Tech.
Let's get JP to pronounce Miko
Illen.
Miko Illen.
Nailed it.
I think he knew Sam Holsey at Georgia Tech or something like that, but they started this app or promoted it and brought it to us. And I did become an ambassador and kind of take the reins as far as.
Did they start the Par Is Your Friend game just for you?
They did not start the Par Is Your Friend game just for me, but
can we say that they did? Because that sounds more fun.
Sure. They started it for TNG. Bottom line.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Because Stone Cold says so.
There we go. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, if you guys are at home looking for something fun to do, get out on the golf course. It's a great way to play after work. Really helped me out to make a bunch of good connections down here in Gainesville. Good way to stay active with the game while having fun. I've learned a lot of tricks since I've been here. One of them is making a holder for your speaker that it can so it can balance on the cart. I think I learned that from Chris Latimer.
Chris Latimer, he actually designs them.
Yeah. He's out for contract for that.
Welds them and it just fits right on the front and serves as a nice little amplifier, and it just does wonders for your golf game.
It does. I mean, because if you're not playing with music, especially at TNG, then you're really, you don't need to be around us at least, because, I mean, and it's kind of amazing. The only time music would really affect your shot is during a song change.
That's right.
Otherwise, you don't even really know what's there.
People back off during a song change.
Now, as an overtaking commissioner, you're going to be in charge of enforcing all rules. Over the past few years, Stuart, without naming names, what are some interesting stories that might have gotten somebody suspended or not allowed to come back for a couple of weeks?
Well, we had one participant that. And so the other thing about TNG is, for a while we worried about having 12 or 15 or 16, somewhere you could divide it up and everything was even. And finally, it got to the point where we're like, you know what? If we have 17 or 18, then we're just going to go with it. And we're going to make fair teams. So one night we had somebody that I believe we had 5 and they had 4, and we ended up beating them by 1 or 2 shots, and this person did not like it. And our motto in TNG is, if you don't like it, play better. That will solve all your problems. And they complained, and I told them, I said, if you don't like it, play better. And they kept complaining and kept complaining and kept complaining. And we just suspended him for about probably a month.
I think it was about a month. We didn't see him out there. The main thing is fun. That's the thing we're about. There is a little money involved, but not enough. It's going to break anybody's wallet. So there's no complaining, period.
Yeah, it's $20 and $15 goes to the team and $5 to the skins. And if you complain, you get thrown out.
Bottom line, I agree.
So no complaining.
That is not something I'm tweaking. That will be a steadfast, firm rule.
Yeah, my advice to you is enforce that.
I plan to.
Is Will Peoples, my coworker, used to say that somebody's got to be the asshole about it.
That's true. That's true. And graciously, you handed me that wand.
Hey, have you enlisted anybody to help you at all, or are you doing it all by yourself?
Right now, I'm doing it solo. I do have a wedding in June, my wedding. And I'll have to hand it off for at least 1 week. But I might get some help from time to time. I know that you and Will would make the teams and even sometimes call me about if you had a question, because you want to make them fair as possible. So I'll probably enlist the help of others on at least team making. But so far, I'm doing it on my own. I'm having fun with it.
Good.
If you need any help, I'm free most days.
Let's get some predictions for this year. And to recap a little bit, in 2017, I won the Tappet Cup thanks to a Greg Frankham birdie on the 17th hole on sanded greens. I think we had, at that point, we were playing a sixsome. There was all sorts of shenanigans. But I think my team made three birdies on the 17th hole pretty much to win the Tappet Cup.
Yes, I recall that as well. I believe that it was a par three. You never see three birdies really on a par three, especially that late in the season with what would probably be going on, as you characterize, as shenanigans. But I remember standing in the grill looking down toward the 17th with John Wright, who I believe was a close second.
He was in position.
And Golf Gamebook provided us with that score total there on the 17th, which just broke John's heart, I believe. And then the next year, obviously, last year, Chris Latimer
won
the Tappet Cup.
No, he was leading going in the last day, and we didn't end up with a whole lot of no heroics. But then we had the 2017 Player of the Year, even though he didn't win, was John Wright.
That's correct.
And then last year, Chris Latimer won the Tappet Cup and the Player of the Year.
And the Player of the
Year. Took him all the hardware.
And so, what did they get for Player of the Year?
I don't know.
It was a little red Corvette?
That's right. A little red Corvette in honor of Blake Nix.
Blake
who was
Nix.
A member of the TNG golf group for a couple of years and passed away. But we got a little red Corvette because he used to drive a little red Corvette.
Yep. Is that passed around year to year?
We get a new one every year.
Goes on and orders a new one. We give that out. And Joe Turner's won in the past. Scott Head has won in the past. Jeff Stowe has won in the past.
Stowe's been a Player of the Year?
Well, Stowe was Player of the Year. Stowe made
like two hole-in-ones that year?
Two hole-in-ones.
Come on.
In the same year.
How about it?
One Player of the Year.
And all these awards are given out at the end of the year party, the Tingle Awards.
That's right.
Which easily is my favorite year, night of the year.
Yes. A little award ceremony, and we actually
nonstop laughter. There's a jukebox or a karaoke. Is it a karaoke machine?
Lee Rogers provides some sort of contraption.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's get predictions. We'll go Player of the Year and the Tappet Cup.
Player of the Year is a tough prediction. I tend to think of the guys that play more consistently week to week. Is having a better shot at Player of the Year. And to be honest, your A and upper level B players have a shot at that. It's a tough call this year. I'm going to say my dark horse for that may be Jimbo Floyd if he gets out there enough.
He's got T-ball and all sorts of nonsense.
He's got coach pitch and T-ball and all that, but he's a grinder and a scrapper, and I think he might come through with that.
He's making moves on social media. Definitely Tweeter of the Year so far.
Tweeter. And by the way, check back. That will be a tingle.
Absolutely.
I think Scott Head Chris Latimer are always in the conversation.
Scott Head is going to be my night. He's going to be my pick.
Scott Head's going to be your pick. Joe Turner. Matt Nix is leaning over my shoulder here. He's out there a lot. He could do it. I really think he could.
I feel like he always gets greased on a bad team, though.
Well, if he pads the pockets of the commissioner, you never know. He might bump right up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's an easy way to the top around here.
I'm feeling a big year out of Scott Head and his team. And I look forward to the first time I get paired with him.
JP, what about you? You're out there regularly. You have a solid game.
Besides June, I'll be out there every Tuesday.
JP, I think JP got the Fashion Dog Award last
year. I got the Rookie of the Year Award back in 2016.
Yeah, and I think you got off. You got a hot start last year.
Rookie of the Year had nothing to do with your golf game, though, I promise you. It's more of your attitude, your sportsmanship, and your general jolliness.
Integrity.
What are you saying here? Is that better than my golf game?
That year it may have been. I don't know.
It's because we just didn't know you and wanted you to feel good.
I started out for a while as a B player and got paired with Stewart and won like the first four.
Well, the first time you came, you didn't have your golf club.
I used Kubion.
Sam Kubion's clubs.
I birdied my first hole ever in TNG with Sam Kubion's clubs.
Did you hit it low and right all day?
I skanked one down on one and I hit a wedge in the front. It was like the number one pin position, that front right.
I'm just now finding this out. That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Four birdies, I think, that night.
I had a pair of shoes that Stu got from like a member guest. He had never worn them.
Yeah. Stewart's probably also a name we should mention for player of the year, especially past commissioner.
Are you going to be committed a lot? You have T-ball coming up now, too.
Is he playing again?
Yeah, I mean, I hope.
You're playing?
I hope. So, you just never know.
So those are a couple of picks. What about Tappet Cup? I mean, that's really... Tappet Cup comes with some
Cup,
awards.
It's got to
be somebody that plays
teams
every week.
It helps to play every week. Latimer is probably the most consistent player in the history of TNG.
He didn't miss one for like 3 years, right?
Yeah. I think he's missed one in the last 3 years.
I tried to stay with him, but at least twice a year something comes up. But
He got the Mr. Perfect Award, if y'all remember the wrestler. Kurt Hennig.
Kurt Hennig, yeah.
You should just count like your best 15.
No, we're not getting into USGA handicap crap.
You just got to play.
That's how you can get suspended, recommending rules to the commits, right?
You can. You notice my tone change.
Yeah, that got shut down quick. Asking to be invited and recommending rules.
This is much like Augusta as far as invitations are concerned. We will suggest to ourselves, and we will make those decisions ourselves.
Now, if you kick somebody out of TNG that was suggested by somebody else, do you kick out the person that suggested them as well?
No. Not unless they come and really try to stump for them. And then we'll say, you know, give them a little shot across the bow and say, look, they're gone. Do you want to be? And then usually that stops the conversation.
They can take your spot.
Do we have any rookies this year?
We do. We have two rookies, Chad Pierce and Jason Griffith. Griffith being a rookie, but he played a long time ago, probably in 07, 08.
So it's like a senior tour run for
him. Yeah. But, you know, we're adding A players and lefties, and he's both. We wanted to, you know, see somebody challenge Stewart from that side of the ball.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll talk a lot of shit.
Or complain.
Yeah, he's going to have a tough time not complaining.
He may be more negative than me, and I can be pretty negative.
Why doesn't Ricky Brown ever play?
He plays earlier in the day.
Ricky, I have dubbed Ricky's nickname, though many people haven't followed it, as the bigger, better deal.
Yeah, I've heard
so
that.
If there's a bigger, better deal, including your cousin in South Carolina on a weekend that you need to go visit, he'll take off on a whim and do that instead of committing to the group. So he doesn't play that much, but yes, I believe he has an earlier game that day.
But he's always done when we're about to tee off, and he's hanging around.
Yeah,
he gets tired.
He's an older gentleman.
Yeah, Ryan, if you're looking to for who broke something over here, it's Jeff Stowe.
Correct.
Just sat on
something. Hey, Jeff, I've got a weight program. You can go if you'd like.
Is it in your pocket?
That's okay. Yeah,
that was already that way.
It's okay.
Yeah, there was just a weak spot.
There we go.
Are you advertising your weight loss program?
I'm not going to advertise my weight loss program. I'm just saying that you just broke a very solid-looking table with your ass.
It's got a nice 2x2 or 1x2.
Is it one of those multi-level marketing deals?
My deal?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
No, it's just a way to feel better.
Okay, like, do I pay you? Like, I need to lose some weight.
Yeah, I mean, you could pay me.
Yeah. You can't just give me this
commission off.
No, I would.
Are there supplements or is it like a
no
Excel spreadsheet?
No, they're Fuelings, and I could set you up on it, and you could do it for a month. You'd probably, you know, I lost, I think, about a half a pound a day.
Mm.
But, you know, it just helps you feel better.
Well, that
you
picture,
sleep better, you have more energy.
That picture that we were talking about earlier of the mirror pick, and it was a very good picture of you. I mean, it showed your success, and you should be very proud of it.
I am very proud of it. That was my shirtless mirror pick that I posted on Facebook for 5 minutes, and Jimbo Floyd,
social media
extraordinaire, pulled off on a Saturday morning at about 10 o'clock, literally after being posted for 5 minutes.
He's got you on notifications.
That was something.
It ain't a party till you break something, and something just broke.
That was not Stowe.
That was not me.
That was probably Will Peoples.
You know, JP, I'd be glad to get you involved in that program.
All right. Off-air conversation here.
All right. Well, Wags, thank you for the interview.
I appreciate the time. I enjoy being here.
You know who we've got in house here that we need to bring over? Will Peoples.
We're gonna go get some more people to come in and give us some predictions.
Some more guests.
By the way, one last thing. I want to thank JP tonight. He gave me an AutoPress koozie.
A koozie.
On the back, and I don't have my glasses on, but 5 ways to guarantee an AutoPress presented by Yogi.
Stowe's taking 2 of them.
First one, playing
refurbished
Pro-Vs. Oh, refurbished Pro-Vs.
Let me put my readers
on.
You got the glasses.
Put your readers on, Don Jr.
That's me. second is skinny visors. May be my favorite.
Yeah.
I love that. Using a poker chip as a ball marker.
Out.
I'm an old member of that clan. Hitting on the beverage cart girl. I am a constant on that, though, since I started seeing my fiance, I stopped such.
Absolutely.
Our friend Trent Brown liked to do that. He's now...
Trent carries that torch proudly.
Trent has that torch.
Finally, asking, what car is this hole?
That's absolutely my favorite.
That's a good one. One of my favorites from back in the day of being an assistant golf pro and working behind the desk, which I'm sure many of you out there have done, is the guy that walks in and says, where's the first tee and what's the course record? And we would always respond, it's to the right and safe.
Hey, y'all have some young followers.
That's perfect.
The reason I have these koozies,
hey,
my stepson, Bo Roberts, he came and he texted me and asked me to get one for y'all.
I got more in the car.
Some young followers.
I was just teasing you, Stowe. You know I love you.
But,
I love you too, man.
Guys,
thanks for listening, Bo.
Guys, thanks for having me on. I really enjoy it. I love the podcast. Everybody out there, please continue to listen. These guys are only doing bigger and better things every week.
Well, hopefully we'll get you back, Wags. You've got a...
he's got a radio voice.
He's got a radio voice. He's got a TV face, too, though.
Maybe when we go on YouTube, we can air Wags.
I don't know. My readers might block the view of this TV face you talk about.
All right. Look forward to hearing some feedback on Wags.
Thanks, Wags. Well, now we are live. We're joined by none other than Willie Peeps.
Ooh.
My arch rival.
Yeah.
Part of that was to create a buzz for this podcast.
It worked.
If nothing else, it got Lee fired up.
he greeted us. So, a little background there. A few weeks ago in the podcast, Stu and I were talking about the Ryder Cup and putting them on different courses, and I made a comment about Will Peoples being able to play Chattahoochee very well. And sometimes that could be misconstrued that he's only a homer, which he kind of gets that rap sometimes from people. I disagree with it, but before he got back to it, I called him up. I'm like, hey, man, before you hear this, I just want to let you know this was my intention. And he said, hey, let's run with this. Let's make this a bigger deal than it is. So we started texting some people and made it seem like we were really fighting. And we were set to play golf that next Sunday, so we showed up in the parking lot. And Lee Rogers was there expecting us to fist fight. And we hugged it out, and he didn't know what to do.
He was trying to hype it up. You know, I thought I made it seem like JP accused me of having a game that doesn't travel.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
But I told JP is y'all played at Chattahoochee. It didn't prove anything. You beat him at Chattahoochee.
And it was 36 degrees. So neither if one nothing of, else, we left dumber.
Neither one of us played any good.
But I did win. I'd like to point that out.
He did. That was a bad day for me.
I wanted to go to the Orchard. We could go there.
Let's go.
Chest of tea.
I saw EV today.
I'm sorry.
Well, let's talk about TNG 2019. What do you think of the tweaks?
I mean, I like it.
All red tees. Oh, the by the way,
Will Peoples is a former commish as well with Stewart.
Yeah. Yes.
I have no problem with it. I trust Jeff's leadership and having a few tweaks, something to start the year, something in the middle of the year, that could really kind of just break the monotony, if you will.
I just noticed a disclaimer at the bottom of the sheet says the commish reserves the right to alter any of the above plans as he sees fit.
That's pretty much what we lived by for 8 years.
That's what
nothing was ever in writing.
That's what we told him. That's what we told Wags. He said, look, it works best as a dictatorship. And he said he'd figure that out.
Well, that's what we promised him when we gave it to him. So I knew he'd run with it.
He's running. I mean, he's using that commish name pretty regularly.
Well, when we had two of us, it was just commissioners, co-commissioners. You know, it was understood who was who. But being one guy, you know, so, I admire that in itself.
As the two of you doing it before, I'd asked Stuart. We did an interview with the current commish a little bit ago, and I had asked Stu, without naming any names, what's your best story of suspending somebody or having to pull their rights from play?
We really only had one suspension. One true suspension.
Yeah, that came, and I wasn't there. But our policy, and I had a few incidents when Stuart wasn't there, but our policy was, look, I've got your back. If I'm not there, tell me what happened, but I'm going to have your back. So, you know, there really isn't anything to harp on there. I mean, there's a few discussions that took place offline that nobody really knows about.
We don't have to get into those.
And we won't, but, you know, people were watched.
The main rule is Wags said, is no complaining.
That's correct.
Just show up, shut up, and play.
And like Stuart said to one potential offender, you don't have to play. You know, if you don't really like something, don't come for a couple Tuesdays.
Was it stressful being in that position? Having people...
Very much.
Yeah.
Sometimes, for
it's
sure.
It's hard to make everybody happy, right?
It's hard to make everybody happy. People don't realize that it doesn't just happen because you have to respect the golf course and the fact that it wants to make money from other people. So, you know, you try to make tee times and let them know you've got, you know, 16 or 20 people coming on a Tuesday night at 5 o'clock. And if they have other people going out, they're paying money too. But at the same time, we're bringing you 20 rounds of golf at 5 o'clock.
Every Tuesday.
A balancing act. Mm-hmm. And they did a decent job after a few kind of hitches, but
yeah.
we got it down to a pretty good science, and I think it'll continue like that.
So 2018 was kind of a down year for the play-wise from you. We didn't see a lot of action from you after May. Is that going to change this year?
I would think so.
Okay.
My daughter's not playing softball this year.
Good. Hey, there you go.
I'm a lot freer on Tuesday nights, so I think that'll definitely you'll see an uptick in my play. But I'd like to point out I did finish pretty high in the Tackett Cup.
You did.
I've only played 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Well, you were making the teams. Did you birdie every hole in those 5 times?
I think there's 2 holes open.
Well, give us your predictions for 2019.
Player of the year
and Tappet Cup.
Chris Latimer was the player of the year last year, right?
Yep.
And the Tappet Cup.
Both.
Double dipping.
I think I see that happening again, as in the same person.
Somebody votes. Doing that?
We'll just have to see after Tuesday who comes out of the gate strong, who spent the winter, trying to find
their game in shape.
Yeah.
I picked Scott Head for a player of the year.
He did win it a few years ago.
Yeah.
I think 1 year ago, Stuart and I figured out there were 22 possible Tuesdays and he won 11 or 12 of them.
It was a couple years ago. It was crazy.
Really?
Pretty high percentage for this game.
Yeah.
I played with him one night and he didn't play very well. And he took it upon himself to just pay the entry fee for everybody else.
I've seen that. That's quite an admirable...
We didn't even care. Like, none of us played good. But he's like, I played like dog. I'm paying your entry.
You know, if he gets it... He's got some changes he's going through right now with his swing. But if he gets it straight... The commish has had some really good runs in D&G in the past.
The current commish.
Yes, correct. So don't sleep on him.
Yeah.
But given that he's got to run the game now... Could add a little
bit. He doesn't just get to show up at 4:45.
It's going to be tough for him to pick the teams. He's a very honest man, and I think that he's going to have a lot weighing on himself if he picks a team and wins a couple, especially if he does that early. It's going to start affecting where he puts himself.
That's very true. You don't want to – that's the balancing act. It's, if anything, I always felt like we erred on giving ourselves what we thought was a weaker team, because especially if you'd won the week before, you don't want to win again, because then people are like, oh, your team looks strong today, and you're like, I didn't try to make it that way.
That's true, and the other thing was we wanted to split up anybody that had won the week before.
You're right.
Make sure that was taken into consideration. But you definitely don't want to spin it to yourself.
Well, I had been with you guys before and you had done a pick at the sushi place. What's the name of it?
Bluefin.
That's called sushi place. And I was always amazed at the amount of research you did. Show up every week with total number of birdies everybody made. You'd have them split up between A, B, C, D, and try to match them with who they hadn't played with too much before. So people are seeing different faces.
Yeah, we look at 2 weeks before, and then try to pair it up where if everybody made the average number of birdies, they were within 2 shots of each other.
It was kind of a system of power rankings, if you kind of think about it as cuts per 18 holes, and those numbers were added together, and so you got a team number. And we kept them within 2 or 3 of each other, because you can't make it perfect. And then you had to also factor in, how's this guy been playing? Did this guy do a lot last week, and odds are he's not going to this week? So there's a lot of thought that went into that, and that's one reason we did get so mad, honestly, about the complaints, is nobody saw all that hard work.
Right.
Offline.
Right.
So.
Well, it was, I was very impressed with it. I always thought it was very fair from my standpoint when I would see it happen, and I knew that you were keeping it fair every week. But it's got to be tough. I mean, Wags helped you guys out here and there when you had something going, but he's going to hear it from some people now and again, and that's going to weigh on him.
He will. I think he just needs to, he'll probably, he's smart enough to call us for either advice or just feedback on what has been said or what's being told to him, because we always tried to involve him when maybe one of us wasn't there or we needed a little help. We trusted him, so he was being groomed for it,
right. Did he know that?
He may have.
Did he know he was becoming the commissioner at the Tingles last year, or was that?
Yes,
he did. Stuart had a talk with him beforehand, okay, so that it wasn't a shock, and to make sure he wanted it.
I pretty much told him, I said, look, we're not doing it next year, and you seem very capable of doing it, so why don't you?
To everybody that was at Tingles, maybe it was just me, it seemed like a complete surprise. And you guys did a great job orchestrating that whole thing.
Yeah, we had our retired hats.
Yeah.
We got retirement hats. We wanted to catch them off guard. so to speak, and that way we knew people would be paying attention at that point.
Yeah.
And you know, not everybody heard that apparently, because we did get a lot of questions about this season, but it was easy to defer them to Wags.
Looking at you, Ron Wilson.
A lot of people missing from the night's kickoff party.
There were probably, what, 20 people here tonight?
We had a good show, but I mean, I'm thinking of some big games that didn't show up.
Oh, that's tough. On a Thursday night.
We got Mr. Social Media, Jimbo Floyd, not making an appearance. Missing Trent.
A couple of our dentist friends. One's out of town, one's at a baseball game. There were various reasons.
You'd think they'd show up. They don't work on Fridays.
I'm not real sure about Monday through Thursday, but, you know,
you caught me off guard for a second. I forgot tomorrow is Friday.
Ron Wilson, Dr. Ron Wilson, is actually at a golf school, if you will, at Seattle.
Oh, he's doing that this
in
week?
In the new learning center with Dr. Mo Pickens and several hours of instruction, I believe, with Jack Lumpkin.
His club pro guy
he
there?
He sent me a picture of some drills earlier. I would share them. I'll share them with y'all after.
Yeah, we don't need a second
so
episode
he's
in a row
on,
with
he's working on
swing
his game.
Lessons.
Yeah, no, I will not make you do that. But he's working on his game.
I don't know if you listen to B. Todd, but I sat him down a rabbit hole about 30 minutes of the swing lesson.
So much that Brennan eventually said, am I giving you a lesson right now?
But hey, Russell Knox, 4-under today. One of Bradley Hughes' guys.
Pete, thanks for joining us.
Thank y'all for having me.
Looking forward to a great 2019.
Are you playing the kickoff night?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Are you?
I don't know yet.
Oh, man.
Hey, for the first time since 2011, I can show up to TNG.
Just show up. You excited for it?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
All red tees, you know?
Yeah.
You're ready to go.
I'm taking you down this year on your home course.
At some point, maybe.
You tried that once.
Yeah, it didn't work.
All right. Thanks, peeps.
Thank you all.
We're joined here with one of our international listeners and tourist extraordinaire playing in the TMZ, Andy Perkel. Not sure if he lives here in Gainesville or if he's in Italy, but he's a big Auburn guy. I think he's just back in town to watch March Madness and be here for this kickoff party. What's up, Perkel?
Hey, JP. Thanks for having me. Man, this is great. I tell you, I listened to the very first inaugural podcast on a KLM flight from Amsterdam to Florence, Italy, and laughed my ass off for the whole hour.
Hopefully that wasn't a Boeing 737.
I think it was a City Hopper or something, but no, not a 737. Right. How you guys doing?
Tough game today for Auburn. I mean, they pulled it off, but only won by a
barely.
Shot.
Barely. I didn't get to see it. I just saw a few highlights.
They won. That's all that matters.
That's right. But you know I'm a Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, but you're paying a lot of money at Auburn.
That's true. Oh,
not
done.
Anymore. Not anymore.
Done.
Not
done. Wrote the last check a few months ago.
Okay.
She graduates in May.
There we go.
2 months.
Shitty. Oh.
That's right.
So Parker was a longtime TNG-er, and also there's a two-man tournament we go play in up in Clayton called the Good Times Invitational. And Perkel is a, I don't know what your handicap really is.
13.
But it's a stretch tournament, and me and Perkel have finished second twice in the
thing. Stretch tournament.
Against stretch
scramblers. It's a scramble, bro.
Two-man scramble.
No, it's not.
It's a two-man scramble.
It's a two-man scramble right. The whole way.
I say I forget. I don't usually have my mind about me when I'm...
3 days of a two-man scramble. By the way, I want to backtrack real quick. You pulled a GTI 2018 group message today. You didn't play GTI 2018.
I backed out at the end.
We'll talk about this more off air.
You don't want to tell your listeners what the over-under was?
No, we're staying away from that. You didn't play a lot last year in TNG.
No, I was working too hard.
Are we going to see you coming back this year?
New Year's resolution, TNG. Every week I'm in Georgia.
Are you in the kickoff game?
Yes, I'm in next Tuesday. It's going to be ugly. I haven't played golf since September.
That's okay.
What's your prediction?
All red tees, sanded
all red
greens.
Tees.
Oh, all red tees? Okay.
2.5 birdies, over under.
Ooh, 2.5.
Jeff Stowe says take the over.
Jeff Stowe says over.
I don't know.
So does Peeps. Peeps is saying
there
four.
Is four.
Stowe says five. Berkel's not
18.
Sure.
We won't get 18 in. That's one problem.
You might.
But you may get 15 in.
Okay, I'm betting over. What the
over.
Hell?
Over.
What the
all
hell?
Right. All right.
I would definitely take the over on that.
Out of everybody playing next week, who do you want to have on your team?
Oh, that's a good question. Always want the young left-hander.
We don't have to list him. He's uncommitted yet.
Oh.
I'm uncommitted.
Will Peoples committed.
Then, I mean, I want at least part of auto press on my team.
Part of auto press.
Are you playing JP?
Oh, yeah.
Then I'll take JP all day long.
We're in town next week.
Do you think you're still going to be an A player?
Yes, he's an A player.
I should be demoted to a B based on last year's performance.
No, you're a strong A, and then that means we can kick a few guys out.
I don't know. Last year, I think I averaged like five birdies.
That's pretty good.
That puts me in a B player situation.
Well, depends who's playing. It's all relative.
All relative. I've bounced around between the A and the B. Depends on which JP shows up that night.
I'm a pretty solid C player, and maybe you have to start in the D rotation.
Big Mizuno guy, though.
Absolutely.
We both have Mizuno iron.
How well is Mizuno doing this year on the tour?
Yeah.
I mean, man, they're killing it.
Have you gotten any of the new golf balls?
No, I have not.
Have you heard about them?
No.
Mizuno has golf balls?
Yes, mm-hmm. They just came out with golf balls. I haven't talked to Chuck. You know, Chuck Couch left
he does the running
Mizuno now. Golf and is running, I think. He's
running,
my typical
running.
Yeah, he's my typical member guest partner at the Hooch. But I don't know much what's going on with the golf ball.
Yeah. So who's Mizuno have on tour now? They still have Brian Gay?
Lucas Glover. Eddie Pepperell.
There's
Luke Donald still.
Yeah.
Luke Donald's coming back.
Luke Donald, he's playing well today.
Yeah.
Oh, but some of these young guys are playing Mizuno irons that have finished.
Brooks Koepka's playing Mizuno irons.
Yeah.
They
don't all have their bags, Stuart, so you don't see it. I mean, follow Mizuno on Twitter, and you'll see how well overall that the guys.
Or on Instagram.
Yeah.
I could pull it up.
Social media.
Could show our listeners. So do you have to take any big trips this year for work? How often are we going to see you? 30% of the time?
Let's see. I'm in Miami for the next week.
You're
Italy.
You're here for the opener, though.
Yeah. Oh, when's the opener?
Tuesday.
Oh, never mind. I'm out.
All that. Clear of
picking your whole team.
All that.
I'm in Miami on South Beach.
What are you doing there? Vacation?
No, working.
Working. Why do you go to all these places for work?
I have to make it happen.
I'm confused by your
Somebody's got to pay the bills.
What do you do?
Cross Plains Trading.
That's right. We recycle textiles into fibers and fabrics and plastics. Make it happen. Open the hood of your car, JP, and you'll see all that black plastic. Could be mine.
You want it?
Want your car?
Yeah.
No, thanks. I'm good.
I just bought my car.
Okay.
Took it off a lease, so it's mine now.
All right. Well, let's get your 2019 TNG predictions. Player of the year, Tappet Cup.
Ooh.
The crowd's kind of thinned out by now.
Crowd's thinned out.
Who won it last year? Stowe?
No.
Widemer won both.
Really?
Mr. Perfect.
The problem is you need consistency.
You need to play a lot.
You got to play a bunch.
You got to play a lot. And that's why Latimer's here every week and plays every week. I would say Wags would play himself into contention.
You think he's going to be up there?
Yeah. Because he plays a lot. And Stewart, I think y'all both have a chance. Travel too much with golf, though. With kids early, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm okay early. It's June I'm gone for a little bit. I had one comment on Wags playing well, because it's depending on the team you're on to get points. You can get points from birdies on your own, but it's going to be tough for him if he wins the first couple weeks. He's going to start answering questions on, hey,
the team he sets up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, and he's getting married.
Yeah, he's getting married.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
That's either going to work really well for him or pretty poorly.
I guess he won't be thinking about golf that much.
May work out perfect.
Could be.
I'm rooting for him. I didn't get invited to the wedding.
I don't think the invitations have gone out there.
Alan, come in.
Yeah,
Alan. Tell us hello.
Oh.
Just tell us, hey.
This is Alan Schutze.
Hey, boys, this is Alan Schutze.
Alan.
Just
wanted
to say.
What do you have to say about 2019?
I was talking earlier about this potential interview, and first of all, we were talking about Stu's wedding in Vegas over years ago, so I want to thank Stu for allowing me to come to that.
Coming up on 10 years.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Let's go back.
10-year anniversary, man.
Let's go.
In January.
I was there. Let's go.
Kirkle was there. Peeps was there.
Get Jacob.
We need Billingsley to show up, and we'll be set.
Good Lord. Do you think Billingsley didn't come tonight because of the Valspar paintbrush trophy?
Maybe.
Because
wasn't Miller Lite.
He works for Sherwin-Williams. You know, they're a rival of Valspar, right? Or do they supply Valspar?
No, I think they're rivals.
They're rivals.
I think.
Are those people leaving?
Yeah.
Everybody's left. There's like four people left. Matt Nix has been standing with us the whole time.
John Wright keeps pacing by, but he won't come up.
I have been here, but I just came by.
Why don't you want to say hello?
Just here checking in.
Just checking in.
Just making sure everything's going
all right,
well.
Prediction. Give us a name.
Player he did. Wags.
Jeff Wagner.
That's his pick. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We're going to have to revisit.
It's going to be the year of Wags. It's buried for the first time. Wins a Tappet Cup.
Wow.
Be a big year.
Is he the sole person responsible for the Tingle Awards, too? Or are you going to consult?
I hope so.
You're not going to consult with him on that?
No, I'll help. But
does he have the outline?
Eddie Rogers will not let anybody else be in charge of the tingles.
That's right.
Good point.
Lee Rogers is heavily involved in tingles and comes up with some interesting awards.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit, Perkle, off TNG topic. Last summer you went on a little trip with Kevin Brown over there, played a few good golf courses.
Oh, we did.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I was able to, fortunate enough, to make a small part of the summer of Brownie 3.0.
Is it a summer or is it a year of Brownie?
It might as well be the year.
Yeah, it seems like he's somewhere every week.
I played two classic McDonald courses, played Piping Rock and the Creek Club, both on Long Island.
Mm. I was about to say, where are these?
They're on Long Island and they're beautiful.
Who's McDonald?
CB McDonald, right? That Seth Rayner follows in.
Oh.
So you guys might know golf course architecture much more than I do. You need Brownie for the architecture segment.
Yeah, really.
But the green designs.
Burrits.
Yeah, a burrit. Burrits. Is that how you say it?
First time I learned about that was Brownie took me to Sweden's Cove.
Yeah, okay.
Burrits.
Did you say that right?
No.
Burrits in a reverse.
I've never seen anything.
Between Perkle and JP. There's no way either one of those are correct.
Rochester meets Gainesville.
There is no way either one of those pronunciations are correct.
Yankee and country come to town.
I think the Burrits greens are rinky-dink and honky-tonk.
What is a Burrits green?
It's got this huge swale in the middle.
Oh, yeah, it goes this, down, like, and back. Is that what
like,
that is?
Yeah, like the front half of the green is normal, and then it drops like 15 feet down, and there's a huge wall going up the other side. People think it's cool.
Have you ever played at Yale's golf course?
They have one.
Number 9.
Yeah, they
have one. Par 3. They played East Regionals there.
They have one of the more famous Burrits greens.
I didn't know that's what it was called, but it was like 70 yards deep.
Pretty stupid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't think you ever put the pin in the middle, do you?
I don't know. Brownie loves it.
He's a big architect guy.
We were riding together at Sweden's Cove, and he got going up to it. Check out this Burrits green. How great is this? How great? And I'm like, I don't know. It seems stupid. My ball just rolled all the way back down. I got a 40-yard pitch. I had a pretty good shot, you know.
But these are walking only. Caddy golf courses.
No signs.
No. Very little anything.
Brownie was posting Instagram pictures with the calling them like the no name club or the no sign tour or something.
Yeah, I mean these are very. I feel like they're very exclusive clubs, but you wouldn't know. You'd drive right past them and not know that was the entrance.
Really, I'm Long Island.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
Yep.
In your home state.
My home state. Never been there.
Yep. Really good. Really good courses.
I've never been to Long Island.
Damn, JP.
Why would I?
I don't know.
I got Monroe in my backyard, Oak Hill across the street, Irondequoit, CCR.
Oh, by the way, we're coming up to Rochester to play golf with you later this summer.
Well, Oak Hill's blowing up their greens in July.
Guess that's not going to happen.
Were we going to Oak Hill?
Piss poor planet, Perkle.
I don't know why else Brownie would come to Rochester if he's not going to play Oak Hill.
Oh, this is a Brownie tour.
Yeah, well, he's going to Wisconsin.
It's
and then coming down.
Rochester.
Coming down. But no, he's got two trips planned. One starting in Wisconsin and working his way down Chicago Golf Club. And
through Ohio.
I don't know. But no, then another trip is going to be North New York.
Well, we can play some good courses, but Oak Hill is hosting the Senior PGA and then blowing up their greens in July.
You're caddying.
I'm caddying in the Senior PGA.
For who?
James Mason.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. We're going to
Habersham boy.
We're probably going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't see any reason. He hits it straight.
That's all you got to do out there.
Early prediction.
Yeah, I mean, with me in the bag, he's a shaky putter. People might say that. I'm going to read those putts. I mean, if we're not in contention on Sunday, you might as well just never hire me again as a caddy.
So, do you know all the new rules? Are you going to line him up? What are you going to What are you going to be able to do? Are you going to get penalty called on your partner?
No, all I have to do is carry the bag. He plays fast. He doesn't even need yardages. I played him a couple weeks ago, and he doesn't even pull out his rangefinder. We're playing. He's like, I think I got about 144 here. I shoot it 146. Yeah, I'm usually within two or three every time. I just get up here and feel it. So
does he putt with the pin in?
He will. Yeah, I'll implement that. That's going to be one of my big moves.
Why would you do that unless it's a 100-foot putt? Why would you leave the pin in?
Adam Scott does it. He's having a pretty good year.
Nah, sometimes.
Nut job Bryson DeChambeau does it.
That's right.
So are you going on this summer tour with Purple or with Brownie?
I'm going to join him for portion. I'm not invited because, I do stupid shit along the way.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't always get invited for the whole time. He has to pace things with me.
What's an example of one of those?
You didn't hear the story about a secession one year?
No.
Where they said I woke up in the middle of the night and went to the bar butt naked and poured myself a beer.
Is secession a men's club?
Yes.
Well, that's fine.
Yes.
Isn't there, there's a club, it might be Garden City, it's on Long Island. Did you guys go there?
No.
Apparently the only rule is you have to have a jacket on in the clubhouse. So guys will walk around the bar, they'll go take a shower, put their jacket on, and just walk in the bar.
Just the jacket?
Yeah, just the jacket. That's the only rule.
I don't get that.
I don't know. People like Brownie probably goes to those places all the time.
Well, we can ask him. I'm just afraid if we get Brownie over here, we may not ever get out of it.
It's going to be a 3-hour podcast.
We can just stop it. He's here because he wants to come on. You can tell. He's got his back to us. Right?
Just waiting.
He's just waiting for that call. He wants to come over and sell flags and talk about golf courses.
He's a true fan of golf course architecture, though.
He treated me to it.
He backs it up, too, because he goes out there and, I think on both of these courses, he shot 70, 73, something like that.
Yeah, he treated me to a day at Sweden's Cove. We put with a couple of Georgia guys. He was hitting it by them, and it was my first time playing with him. He had told me that he had some game, but I take half of what he says and throw it out. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, dang, Brownie does have some game. And have you gone to Sweden's yet?
No, not yet.
Weren't you going to join?
Yeah. I got to go up there.
You got to go.
I got to go before I join.
You wouldn't take my word on it?
No, well, I want to go.
After that golf lesson I got from Brendan on the podcast on Tuesday night, I think I'm ready to start.
Yeah.
Just absolutely.
You have to do the opposite of what Brendan said, because it's going to be your left palm.
I was talking with Jimbo Floyd in the office today, and I was like, I guess I need to try to send it from like 9:30. And he was like, no, you need to do 7:30. And I was like, okay, yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
From the clock.
Dang, he doesn't.
Instead of 4:30, I'm at 7:30.
Think about that. You got to go to 7:30.
I'm going
to
send it. Left palm up, 7:30, and the late hit, and all of this.
Just turn. It's going to be great.
Think that would work for me, JP?
Not 7:30.
No. Even 4:30.
It depends how hard you bounce it off your back.
Yes. That is correct.
All right, Parker.
All right, boys. Thank y'all. It's great.
Well, thanks for
great
coming
to talk
by.
To you.
Good story time there. I think we should try and get Brownie.
Come see me at the Non-Woven Show in Miami, next week.
Have
South Beach.
Miami. Yeah.
Going to be down there doing it.
Be safe.
Will do. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Park. So, now we're thrilled to be joined by Kevin Brown, former Wake Forest golfer, Red Elephant Golf men's coach right now.
Yes, that's correct.
Men's coach. And there's Clay McDonald. He can chime in if he wants. But we were just talking about with Perkle about your trip up to the Northeast, and I asked you about it in the restroom a second ago, and I said, I just learned a new term, a baritza green. And tell me what you said.
Beeritz. It's a Beeritz grade.
So we were nowhere near right.
It's a Beeritz.
And I said, I should have known not to trust JP on
A pronunciation
baritza.
Well, the first time I had heard the word was at Sweden's Cove with you.
That's right.
Which was a great trip. We had a nice time.
Yep.
And, charter member. We were on, is it the sixth hole?
The Biarritz, yes, is the Biarritz is actually, it's a modified Biarritz, it's the eighth hole.
Eighth hole.
Yeah.
And I had a great shot in there, rolled back like 20 yards. You're like, isn't that green great? It's just fantastically designed. I'm like, no, it's pretty stupid.
I hate it. I hate it.
I flagged that.
And the hell was Seth Rayner.
Then I had to make, like, I meant like a seven.
Yeah. That's the thing about Sweden's Cove is that Rob Collins really designed a golf course that they used templates, and it really did a great job with the templates that they used there. They have a Redan green, they have a modified Cape, they have a Biarritz, and it really it's tremendously fun to play. But certainly some of the best green complexes, some of the best green designs, some of the best courses in the country. Really is a whether it's a C.B. McDonald or his protege Seth Rayner, or even a Charles Banks, who was a protege as well. You see those templates at a lot of the top 100 courses in the country.
And Kevin is a certified, is it Golf Week?
Golf Digest panelist.
Panelist. So when he calls you to come play, you better answer it and give him the red carpet so that he'll give you a good review.
Yeah.
Tell you about Biarritz greens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that we certainly enjoy. And we have different criteria that we use in rating a golf course, or actually determining how good the golf course is, and you know, are responsible along with a lot of other panelists for the ratings that Golf Digest does yearly, and as well as their best in state for each individual state in the country. So it's something that is fun to do, but it is labor intensive, and there is a lot of information that you need to have and that you need to know to be able to to look at courses and judge the actual playing criteria properly.
Now, to become that, you're mentioning all those criteria there, but I played with you for the first time at Sweden's Cove. You're a hell of a player. Is that worked into the criteria at all?
You know, part of the criteria for being a panelist at Golf Digest is that you're supposed to be a 5 handicap or better, and you're supposed to be able to play any number of the tees at the golf course. You get a different feel for each course that you play. So that's something that is taken seriously, and they are very serious about it. I was a former Golf Week panelist, and their rating criteria is somewhat different in what they do and how they rate golf courses. Golf Digest is slightly different, but kind of they're very similar in philosophy, but certainly very involved for either magazine, and they take it very seriously because it is one of the things that people who subscribe to either one of the periodicals really pay attention to, and there's a lot of thought that goes into it. I'm not saying that it's flawless or it's perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but there is a lot of thought that goes into it, and it's subjective. So
yeah,
something that I may like, you may not like as much, or Stuart may not like as much, but or vice versa. But you try to quantify stuff that's really difficult to quantify into something as your personal favorite. And you can't take how you played into consideration when you're considering a golf course. And you can't take how they treated you or the ambiance is part of it for sure. But both periodicals rate differently and try to do the best they can with something that's actually is pretty difficult, very subjective, which obviously,
yeah,
you know, leads to a lot of debate. And I, you know, there are a lot of criticism or some criticism of the rankings. And, you know, I don't disagree with those. I really don't. People are entitled to their opinion. And even though I do go play a lot of these different courses, sometimes where the courses end up are a little bit of a head scratcher for me, and I'm sure a lot of other panelists, but that's exactly what it is. It's subjective in nature, so teach his own.
Well, we're no longer a fan of golf.com or anything affiliated with them, but between the two magazines you're talking about, very respectable magazines, Golf Digest and Golf Week, based on the rankings and from your opinion, which one has it closer?
You know, that's really a great question, because I would say that an older generation feel, and this is my opinion, so for whatever that's worth, But I would say that a lot of older players, older generation, feel that Golf Digest is the gold standard.
Okay.
And I would say that a lot of younger players, and when you see on social media, and certainly guys who are very informed about golf course architecture and are into it, have a tendency to gravitate toward the Golf Week criteria for a lot of the different courses. It's kind of a hybrid between the two, but I'm active on social media, and I see where people have guys who really know golf course architecture and really know good golf courses and great golf courses. And obviously both you guys have played. You guys have played in college. You played all around. You had an opportunity to play in college on somebody else's dime. So you got a chance to travel and play a lot of different golf courses. And I had the opportunity as well. But that's a tough question to answer because, like I say, it is subjective. I like a lot of the things that Golf Week does and how they rank courses. And as you're a rater for Golf Week, Golf Digest calls everyone they call them panelists. And it's a little bit different criteria. It's a little bit more in depth with some more with some different criteria. But really, it's subjective. And I really feel like a lot of the younger guys are more in tune with a lot the Golf Week rankings. And I feel like a lot of older guys are more in tune with Golf Digest. Not to say that there's not some trade-off there, but they both have their merits. They really do.
I always had a problem that I always seemed to like the golf courses that I played better on more.
Right.
That would be the hardest thing.
I agree with that.
It's tough.
If I don't play well somewhere, I'm like, that place sucks.
It's really difficult because you have to separate that, and it's hard when you're punching out and you're doing a lot of, you know, you're hitting it all over the ranch, and you're trying to judge the golf course on the criteria that they give you, and you're busy also trying not to shoot 90 while you're doing
like
it.
Like, have you ever played Bulls Bay over near Charleston?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I've played.
We played a college event there.
The Hootie.
Yeah,
and it was a neat golf course, but I never played good there, and I hated it.
Yeah,
and I was just like, that's a stupid
golf
course.
Yeah, I hate that golf course.
Why would you design a golf course like that?
Exactly.
But looking back at it, I'm like, that's a pretty neat golf course.
It is a neat golf course. There's a lot of elevation change on the golf course for a coastal course just outside of Mount Pleasant. And it's really an emphasis on shot values, which is one of the criteria for both Golf Week and Golf Digest. So it's really, it comes down to kind of what your preference is, what you like. You have to separate yourself from how you played, but also the kind of experience that you had, both on the golf course and, it really doesn't have to do with how nice the clubhouse is or anything like that, which a lot of people assume, or how well they treat you. It really has to determine about, how you played, what kind of – did you use every club in your bag? What were your shot values? What were a lot of the different criteria that go into what makes a good round and what your idea of a great round is, and what Stewart's idea of a great round is, may be different. But that's what leads to healthy debate and, whatever. I'm not saying that both lists are perfect, but people really try to do the best they can with it, and based on what they have to judge off of. And it certainly is not perfect, but I feel it's pretty good. I feel both do a really good job and are very concerned about it. It's not a write-off for either one of the magazines because they take it very seriously, very passionate about it.
Now, what would you say to somebody like with a tight budget that can't get on these nice places? How could you play the 50 worst golf courses in America? Is there a list for that?
First of all, I don't think there's a list of that, but I could probably start with the 10 worst that you'd play. But, the thing is that when we go and play different courses, we always try to go play we're not always trying to play just the top 100, but we also look at other golf courses that may be architecturally interesting, that maybe not get as much as much credit or as much publicity, but we also are responsible for rating the best in state. So there may be a golf course, say in New York, that is not a top 100 golf course, but maybe a top 10 or top 15 that people really haven't played. And that's really a really good course, both architecturally and with, so far, shot values and those things. So there's a lot there that we need to do. And I do, because I coach golf and volunteer my time for that, I do most of my playing during the summer. So I'll go and play someplace, and it's fantastic to be able to take somebody to go play with you who you can bounce questions and ideas off of while you're playing. And this past summer, I was up in New York and up in Massachusetts, got a chance to play some great golf courses, and played in Massachusetts with a friend of mine who's from South Carolina, and of course played in North Carolina, or excuse me, in New York, with Andy Perkle, who was just on earlier. And
He said he's not invited back.
Yeah, no, he's invited back.
The second part of the trip.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah, he was on the second part of the trip last year. I actually started out and played played Eastward Ho in Massachusetts, and then went and played Sankaty Head, and played Myopia Hunt Club, and played Catansett, which are all fantastic courses. They're all in the top 150. And really, really strong golf courses. Right. And then met up with Perkle, and we played in New York and played at Creek Club, which had just been redone by Gil Hance, which was fantastic. You have the first six holes, which are like a parkland course, and then all of a sudden, it's a completely different golf course after that. And we also played Piping Rock, which has just moved into the top 100 because it's getting more play and getting more publicity. But that's where Andy first started learning about these different template holes that we discussed earlier. Everybody says, well, it's a template hole. It's got to be, you know, what fun is it to play the same hole in a different place? Well, it's an interpretation of that hole at a lot of different courses. So the Redan at Chicago Golf Club is different than the Redan at Piping Rock. And the Biarritz is different from course to course, whether it's at, you know, a tribute at Sweetens Cove or Black Creek up in Chattanooga, to, you know, the Biarritz at any other of the C.B. McDonald, Seth Rainer, Charles Banks golf courses throughout the country, which are, you know, along with Donald Ross and Alistair McKenzie, you count for a tremendous number of the top courses, we consider golden age of architecture.
Well, let's completely switch gears to TNG.
I had one more question that I wanted on that.
Okay.
Can I ask one?
Always.
Okay. Name of this podcast is AutoPress. You're listing off a lot of courses here, a lot of bougie names, I guess.
Bougie.
Millennial word.
Millennial word.
Bougie wet chairs.
Many of these courses are what I would call logo bingo for people.
Yes.
Where they're just going to wear like the Smathers and Branson belt or
right.
The hat. You're one where you're qualified because you've played the course. But if somebody's wearing a belt or a hat from one of these courses and they haven't played it, is that an auto press?
That's an auto press. That is a no-no and something that I won't do.
You buy hats for people?
Exactly. Well, yeah, I will. Obviously, if they want it.
Names.
Am I on the record with this?
But if you're wearing been there.
Yeah, that's right. Because you know what always happens is invariably you'll be at the airport going someplace and somebody will say, hey, look, it's a Piping Rock logo.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? It's a distinctive logo. And they're like, hey, what'd you think about it? And you're like, buddy got it for me, brought it back, whatever.
Yeah.
Immediately lose credibility with that. If you're going to wear it, you have to have played it and you have to know a little bit about it. You don't have to be a panelist or a raider or whatever, that's kind of my personal credo. Way. You don't have to have a personal credo, but if you did, that'd be a good one.
The Masters is the same way.
That's a great auto press.
I don't think people should wear Masters hats if they've never been. Maybe that's bad of me.
Well, I agree, you know, because that stuff is prolific now. It's more so because of what's on, you know, you can go on, eBay or whatever and get pretty much whatever logo you want for whatever golf course or wherever you want. And you know what? The funny thing is that the golf course architecture, people who've played golf, like you guys have, like I have, whatever, for most of our lives, it's kind of a community. It's a large community, but it's a small fraternity. And you see somebody who has a logo. Schutze was here this evening. He had a Secession logo on. We spent 15 minutes talking about Secession and the pluses and minuses of the golf course.
And he played it.
Yes, he has played it. Okay. Yes, he has. We made sure of that before we talked about it, because if not, I'd be like, what a poser.
No, but, poser. Auto-press.
Yeah, exactly. Auto-press. Love Air Hammer. Love Schutze. But you know what? If you haven't played Secession, you shouldn't be wearing the logo. You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
It's just kind of that's kind of my personal feeling about that.
So
we spent 15 minutes talking about the layout. You know, it's funny because Pete Dye takes credit for that golf course or took credit for that golf course in designing it. He designed basically 90% of the golf course, but he does not get credit either by the members or, you know, officially for the golf course, because at the very last, he ran into an argument with the members about some mounting that he did on one of the holes, and they said, you know what, you're fired, you know, get the hell out of here.
Good.
And they brought in Bruce Devlin, and Bruce Devlin finished off the golf course. No offense to Bruce Devlin, but he finished off basically what was already there, and Bruce Devlin gets the credit for designing Secession. That's the way the story goes, and I, you know, Bruce Devlin's not here, but that's the story that I've heard and basically read. So you had Pete Dye, who claimed the golf course, Bruce Devlin, who finished it off, and they actually have an amateur tournament there called the Devlin, which is one of the better mid-am tournaments out there. So,
gotcha. Well, let's make a switch to TNG. We're the last ones here at Tappet.
Yeah, we're running out of real estate.
We're closing them down.
Yeah.
Won't be the last time.
Won't be the last time.
So tell us about your TNG experience, and then we want predictions for 2019 on...
Well, as you guys know, 2018 was a thin year for me so far as TNG, because not only was I coaching for the first part of the TNG season all the way up until really the end of May, but then I went straight into Georgia Golf Camp for 9 days, and then went on the road for
Summer of Brownie,
SOB 3.0, which was last year. This year, I'm not quite sure what we're going to call it other than a good time. 4.0. I'm going to be up in Wisconsin this year, and playing up in Wisconsin and up in Illinois and Chicago. So I'm going to play some of the classic courses around
Chicago.
Still
got to get you to Rochester.
Yeah, want to play up there and would love to go up there. But I am going to carve out some more time, because TNG is one of my favorite things to do.
Near and dear to your heart.
Love it. Near and dear to my heart. And many, many years ago, this was back in the late 90s, when we actually started TNG, was actually a little known fact, was started by me and Lee Rogers. Mm-hmm. We are the actual founders of the TNG, because we played a Saturday morning game, Sunday afternoon game, and a Tuesday evening game. And we actually had a website where you could sign up. This was back in the day when
no internet.
CGCgolf.com. That's exactly it. Stuart knows. CGC.com. And you could sign up online, but you had to have a password. So we only gave the password out to the guys we wanted to play in the event, which caused some controversy.
Much like TNG lives.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So we did that because we played a money game Saturday morning and Sunday afternoon, and obviously we wanted to continue to play a money game, but do something completely different than a team event, you know, team and skins, and you know, we had a lot of different, we had six different bets, plus whatever side action you wanted. So Tuesday night was just a horse race. It was a, you know, red tee, white tee, make as many birdies as you can, all birdies count.
Hasn't changed.
It was just a fun thing that we did that we loved. And back in the day, you know, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, there was really a community out of Chattahoochee where you could go, and Stuart knows this for sure, was that we had so many right-handed and left-handed players that we could have had a right-handers versus left-handers tournament and probably gone 16 players deep on both sides and everyone still be scratched.
Mm-hmm.
It was really that type of thing.
Kevin's a lefty, I'm a lefty.
Right. Yeah, we
had a lot of lefties.
I mean, there's so many Jason Griffiths and Brian Fair and Stan Rawl and
Ricky Brown.
Yeah. And it's crazy. And just on and on and on. Yeah, I don't know. It's like being in Canada or something. There's so many left-handers.
Who do you think's going to be the player of the year?
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I think John Wright might. I'm expecting big things out of John Wright this year. You know why? It's because he flies under the radar, and he's not necessarily an A player, but he always seems to be cashing checks. He always seems to be cashing.
He's a former player of the year.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I'm a big believer in JW. I think that.
Guy's got a serious game.
It really helps when you play every weekend plus every Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I mean, the guy literally, you know, I don't know. He's got his money's worth out of his membership at the club, because the guy plays 200 rounds a year minimum.
He was giving me grief earlier tonight. He's like, can you play Sunday? I was like, I can play, yes, physically. But no, I'm not going to play.
Why?
I got kids. I got other
Your
things
kids
to do.
Don't want you to be around all day Sunday.
You know how that goes, though. You have a wife.
I got other
you have
things
kids.
To do.
I used to get so much grief from everybody, because I was older than everybody else who played in TNG or Saturday or Sunday. We had an older crowd that was older than me, but you know, Lee Rogers used to give me so much grief about it, because I had 4 kids, and I was like, I have to go home. I can't play, you know, every single day. So he gave me grief, and he had just on and on and on, as Lee always does. And then all of a sudden, and guess what happened?
Turned.
And guess what happened? Lee had four kids. And then all of a sudden, Lee can't break 90 right now.
Oh, no.
And you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Brownie.
That's right.
This is Lee Rogers.
There was a rumor that he got out of the chipping yips, but I think it's just a rumor.
I played with him a few weeks ago. Number two at Chattahoochee, the Pino's back right. He hit a bunker shot from the front bunker and landed it like 12 feet left of the hole and spun it right, almost made it.
Really?
Probably the top bunker shot I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's really rare because
he shot like two or three under on the front.
I can tell you, yeah. On the next hole, he might have chipped it three times before he got on the green. I don't know. I mean, that's just, you heard it here first, but no, one of my favorite guys ever.
So John Wright's your selection.
Yeah, that's my selection for this year. And hopefully, this summer, I'm going to play more TNG and be able to get us involved because I didn't play as much as I'd like to last year, but it was obviously having kids going off to college and traveling. I was on the road for 3 weeks last year playing golf and basically raiding golf courses, and this year I'll probably be on the road for a month.
I don't think you're going to be raiding Chattahoochee anytime soon.
No, not anytime soon.
But hopefully we'll see you back.
So wrap it up, JP. Who's your pick?
Scott Head.
Oh, you already said Scott Head.
Yeah.
I'm going to go kind of off the radar with a guy who's a B player, high-level B player, that can make some birdies and get hot, Todd Pennington.
Ooh. TP. Now, I played with him one of the times I played last year. Todd played very well.
TP so, you know, strikes it.
Yeah, he that does. Is a, that's a strong selection because
I played with him one night last week.
He made
8 or 9 birdies. He plays a lot.
That's right. Yeah.
Hits it good.
Makes a lot of play. Very, very rarely in trouble.
Where did you guys play?
We played at Chattahoochee.
Red Tees?
White and reds. He killed it.
You guys played last week?
If Todd makes putts.
When was this?
Yes, exactly.
No, just
like
last year.
You know last year.
That's where TNG is just like the tour. Whoever makes the putts, Todd's very rarely out of play. TNG, he's always in the fairway. He's a grinder, man. He's just, you know what? He's an earner. He's the, you know what? Todd Pennington is the Charles Howell III of TNG. You turn around, the guy's like, he's like, yeah, he's whatever. You turn around, he's made like $40 million.
Right.
Yeah. Playing golf. I mean, he is our Charles Howell.
So the TNG and the tour.
TH3 and TP.
That's right.
And the tour and TNG, we're all one.
That's it, maybe.
All right. Well, Brownie.
Do you think we see Brendan Todd in TNG this year?
I think so. You know, he has played TNG a couple of times, and obviously, you know, he leaves with everybody's money. So, you know, if he likes money, he'll come back and play with us.
Yeah.
Well, Brownie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
We're hoping we don't see Brendan and he's on.
Yeah.
That's right. Tour. Exactly. Hopefully he's back.
He has him back.
Yeah. I hope he is too. Everybody loves BT.
Make Brendan Todd great again.
Thanks, boys.